Хазал, Месехес Танис, which says that Omer of Yehuda Bereidra Shmuel Bashiras Mishmeida Rav. The Yehuda Bereidra Shmuel Bashiras said in the name of Rav, Kishem, in the same way, Shemisha Nichnas Av Mematim Basimcha, the same way as when the month of Av comes, one should decrease Simcha. So when Adar arrives, Marvin v'Simcha, one should increase Simcha. Now on this Gemara, there is a problem that the Mephoshim talk about. And the problem that the Mephoshim talk about is a linguistic problem. The word Kashem, that bothers the Mephoshim here on the Gemara. Because the translation of the word Kashem is in the same way. And usually the word Kashem comes to imply that there's a common theme between two ideas, two concepts, or two situations. For example, the famous Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara says in Brochus, Chayev Adam Levorech Al Horo, the person has to make a brocha even on something negative that happens. Kashem, in the same way, Shemavorech Al Teva, that he has to. And the Gemara there asks in Brochus, what's the Kashem? What is the common theme of making a brach on something negative to making a brach on something positive? Which the Gemara answers that in both cases, one has to make the brach of a simcha. Because one has to believe that even something negative in the long term is going to be positive. In other words, the word Kashem always signifies a common theme. Say the Mephoshim, if so, what is the common theme between the diminishing of Simcha in the month of Av and the increasing of Simcha in the month of Adar? In other words, they both seem to be involving, according to the Gemara, around one theme, one principle, one idea, one concept. What is this concept? What is this theme? What is this principle around which they're revolving? And here I want to suggest something which is actually repeating what I've said on the previous occasions, on the previous years. But it's a very basic concept, I think, in Hashkofa. The Gemara in Tainus, the same daf, the Gemara in Tainus which quotes this Kishem Shenichnas Av Mematim V'Simcha, so too Kishenichnas Adar Marvim V'Simcha, that Gemara, in that sugi of the Gemara is discussing Tisha B'Av. And in reference to Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that after the chet of the Meraglim, the understanding that the Meraglim had messed up, and the response, the angry response of the Ribbono Shel Olam at the messing up of the Meraglim, the pasuk says, "Vakisa kol ha'edo, vayitnu es kalam," that the entire Jewish people raised their voices, "Vayivku ha'om b'layla ahu." When they heard, when the Meraglim came, and the Meraglim told over the fact that it seems to be impossible that we should be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, what was the response of everybody? Everybody started crying and said, oh, what a terrible thing's happened to us. God's telling us to go to Eretz Yisrael and it's not possible. Here, the spies just came back and they explained to us that we're never going to make it. These are people that you can't conquer. This is a country which is inconquerable, etc., etc., etc. And the response of the people was that they started crying. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, what was the date on which the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael and informed the people that Eretz Yisrael was a terrible place and we can't even conquer it even if we wanted to? And there's really no point in conquering it because he wants to be there anyway. What date? When did that happen? When did the story happen that the Meraglim came back and said negative things about Eretz Yisrael and about conquering Eretz Yisrael? Say Chazal, Lel Tisha B'Av Hoya. It works out to be, if you work out the Cheshbon, you'll see that this was the night of Tisha B'Av. Omalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were all crying, the Rebbe Shlomo said to them, you know what? Atem Bechisem Bechia Shulchino. You are crying for no reason at all. Ani Kaveh Lechem Bechia Shulderes. I'll give you a reason to cry for many, many generations. And therefore on Tisha B'Av, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. On Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael was sent out to Golus. In other words, the whole concept of Golus, the whole concept of destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, this is all a response from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a midah keneged midah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As why the Ribbono Shel Olam said you're going to be able to, the Eretz Yisrael is cholav v'dvash. The Ribbono Shel Olam told them that the Eretz Yisrael is the most wonderful place in the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam told them that you're going to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. A couple of people went there and came back and said it's impossible. There's no better than God, and you're crying. I'll give you something to cry about, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we all know that the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam works is that punishment is not just punishment, it's tikkun. Punishment is coming to rectify something. In other words, the Meraglim came back and the Meraglim said what they said. The response of Klal Yisrael is that they cried. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, okay, you cried for nothing, I'll give you something to cry about. Golos. Which means that somehow Golos is not just a punishment for the response of Klal Yisrael to the Meraglim and what the Meraglim did, but it's actually some sort of tikkun. It's going to rectify the problem that the chet that the Meraglim created and the Klal Yisrael created in their response to the Meraglim. What is the tikkun here? What is the rectification here? How does it work? Now, in the parish of the Meraglim, we find something very, very strange. On the one hand, we find, the Pasuk tells us, the Torah tells us, that these were Roshei B'nai Yisrael. These were great people. These were the Nesiim of the tribes. These were G'dayli Yisrael. And they messed up. The Zohar says something very interesting. The Zohar says the following. The Zohar says, Kulon Zakoyin Havu. You have to understand that the Meraglim were all tzaddikim. Reishei di Yisrael havu. They were the heads of Klal Yisrael. Avo. Inun dibru legamayu ito bisho. They messed up because between themselves they came, after discussing what they saw, between themselves they came to the wrong conclusion. And why did they come to their own conclusion, asks the Zohar. Says the Zohar, the Omru, because they said, Iyalun Yisrael Ara, if Klal Yisrael are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, Nisaber Anon Milim Yavirishin, we're going to lose our positions as being the Mahigeh, the leaders of the generation. V'yamane Moshe Rishon Achrinin. And Moshe is going to appoint other people to be the heads of the tribes. Because we are only going to be manhigim of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Avu ba'ara lo'niske. But we're not going to be the heads of Klal Yisrael in the Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, let's make sure that Klal Yisrael doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So if you read this Zohar at first glance, superficially, one would imagine that these are people who are very, very, very worried about their public position. In other words, they're scared that they're going to lose their jobs. They're scared that they're going to lose their stature. They're scared that they're going to lose their influence over Klal Yisrael. Therefore, they say, better we stay in the Midbar than go to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, we're going to lose our jobs. So there seems to be an internal contradiction going on here in the Zohar. The Zohar starts off and says, you have to understand something. These people were the greatest tzaddikim in the world. Right? And then the Zohar continues and he says, but you have to understand that the reason why they messed up, the Negev to Eretz Yisrael, because they were frightened they're going to lose their jobs. Yeah, Moshe Feinstein is the biggest pesach in the Torah. Oh, but the reason why he passed him that was because he's scared he'd lose his job in MTJ. Come on. What's going on here? What's happening here? And it's interesting that there's a common theme which is presented in a lot of the Chassidish Sforim, but it's also presented in a lot of the Musa Sforim as well. The same concept and the same thing. Because obviously when you say the Emes, everybody meets at the same point. And they explain the following. They actually explain on the basis of a Maimer Chazal. And the Maimer Chazal is the following. The Maimon Chazal is talking about, it's a Medrash. The Medrash is talking about the distinction between Chalal Yisrael when they were in the Midbar and Chalal Yisrael when they are in Eretz Yisrael? Or what is going to be the change between Chalal Yisrael wandering around in the Midbar and Chalal Yisrael when they're going into Eretz Yisrael? So the Medrash uses, Chazal use a mashal to try and explain what's the difference between Chalal Yisrael in the Midbar and Chalal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And the Medrash says that this can be compared to a chicken whose eggs hatched and it now has small chicks. The nature of the chicken is the following, says the Medrash. It takes these, as soon as the eggs hatch, it takes the chicks and it warms them up under its wings. And besides doing that, the chicken itself wanders around in the garbage and it collects together food in order to give it to its offspring. However, the nature of the chicken is that when the offspring get older, the same mother chicken that used to take them under her wings and warm them up, if they try and come near her, she starts pushing them away, and in fact she tries to bite them, say Chazal. That's the nature of the chicken. It tries to bite the offspring, and it's as if it's directing the offspring and it's saying to them, go and look after yourselves now, you're adults, it's time that you look after yourselves. Say Chazal, herein lies the difference between Klal Yisrael in the Midbar and Chalal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael. Chalal Yisrael, when they were in the Midbar, were living basically in a utopia. Chalal Yisrael in the Midbar were basically able to devote themselves totally to any spiritual activity they had to do, because they had absolutely no problems in terms of their physical material sustenance. In fact, the whole of the travels of Klal Yisrael through the Midbar was a total supernatural totally protected environment. They didn't have to worry about defending themselves because they were surrounded by the Ananeya covered, which protected them. They didn't have to worry about getting lost because they had an internal GPS. They had the Anan which showed them where to go, right? The first GPS on the scene. They didn't have to worry about clearing the way because the Ananeya covered used to clear anything which would hinder in their progress. They didn't have to worry about Parnasa because they were constantly being supplied from heaven with the man, and they had the bear which went along with them, which gave them water. And Chazal in fact describe the man as Lechem Shemalachai Ashores, Lechem Abirim, Lechem Shemalachai Ashores, Lechem Aisa. It's the sustenance of angels. In other words, it's a totally spiritual thing. You don't have to do anything at all in order to attain it. Which means that Klal Yisrael, when they were in the Midbar, were basically living in existence which was a total spiritual, supernatural existence, which allowed them to totally devote themselves to things which were spiritual, to Avodas Hashem. And they had absolutely nothing to worry about. Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu, the Al-Pi Hashem Yisu, all they had to do was follow God's instructions, travel when I tell you, stop when I tell you. And all they had to do the whole time was to sit and learn Torah from Moshe and from Aaron and from the Shivas Canaan. That was the lifestyle. That's utopia. That's ideal. Wish we could live like that, right? Imagine. Great. You get up in the morning and the check comes down from heaven, right? That's it. That's all your expenses for the month. Everything you need, right? At a luxurious level, right? Anything you want. It all comes down from heaven. All you have to do is daven and learn. You have to do anything else. What could be better, right? Great. And in fact, that was the ideal, as it were, situation. However, Chazal maintained that that's true. That is the parallel to the chicken that's taking the offspring under its wings and going around finding food in order to feed the offspring. But that's only for a period of time. It's a preparation. It's a stage in the game. There will come a point in time when, in the same way as the chicken turns around to the offspring and says, okay, enough, now you're mature enough to deal with things on your own, so too Klal Yisrael, there will come a point when they will be spiritually mature enough that the situation will change and it will be their job that they now have to fend for themselves. They will be taken out of this spiritual utopia. They will be placed in a situation where they will have to worry about material things. They will have nisyonos. There will be things which will disturb them from a purely spiritual life, and they have to overcome it and continue with their spiritual life. That will be phase two in the process. The nature, the psychology of people is that once one lives a certain period of time within a certain framework, within a certain style of living, within a certain derech, one loses the ability to be able to see or to appreciate that one can function in a different situation. And in fact, it's even more than that. When you get used to a certain understanding of something, and somebody tries to explain to you it's now different, it's very difficult to change your perception. My late grandmother, right, who I often quote, the Baba Miriam Lida, right? She was a very simple lady, right? She was a big Sitkanya. She was a woman who in 1905, 1910 already went with the shetel, right? Which was very unusual in those days, covered her hair. And she was a Isha Sitkanya. She was a simple lady who knew how to daven and was an expert in Ma'amarei Chazal. Right, there wasn't an agadata in Shas that this woman didn't know. Why? Because she read Sanarena every week. Right? So she would sit and argue with us. We'd quote Gemara. She'd say, no. The story doesn't go like that. Where did she know? From the Sanarena. She said the whole of Shabbos was the Sanarena. She was one of these women from the old days. She moved in to live with us when she was about 80. Right? She was an elderly lady. She was already sick. She moved into the house to live with us. She had about 150 ailments that people of that age usually have. And my father, Zichrono Livracha, used to say, I am the ultimate halachic pesach in Europe. Everybody listens to my psukim except for one person, my mother-in-law. As far as she's concerned, I know nothing. Why? Because every Erev Yom Kippur, we used to have the same fight in the house. My father used to say to her, you are not allowed to fast. Okay, Alocha, you are not allowed to fast. And every year Yom Kippur, she used to look at him, and she never called him by his name in all the years that she was married. She used to call him the Chosh of Arov. And she said, she used to say, was, what are you talking about? You trying to tell me that I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur? I fasted for 70 years on Yom Kippur, and you're going to tell me now that I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur? And you say, so yes, you fasted for 70 years on Yom Kippur, and it was a mitzvah fast, and you will, for the next 40 years of your life, eat on Yom Kippur, and it will be the same mitzvah. And she used to shrug her shoulders, turn around to my mother, and say, Unzei Zogen Azei Zarov, and they say he's a Rov. Why? Because go tell a woman who for 70 years Yom Kippur has been, right, the ultimate, right, go eat. It's completely impossible for a person to change their mode of thought. One of the strongest memories that I had, which I think I'll never forget, was the Yom Kippur on which the Yom Kippur war broke out. The sirens went off somewhere in the region of, I think, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was yeshiva bacha at the time learning yechev in yeshiva, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the army turned up. Army trucks turned up outside the yeshiva. In the yeshiva there were 400 bochrim, but there were about 1,000 people davening there, because there were 600 guys who learned in the yeshiva. Everybody comes back to Yom Kippur to daven in the yeshiva. Right? The army turned up and started giving out call-out papers to Yungalai Barabatim who were davening in the yeshiva. There was a hafsaka between Musaf and Mincha. It was about 10 minutes there was a hafsaka. And I was standing outside the yeshiva in Rechov Chagai in Gula, in Yerushalayim, outside the old building of Chevron Yeshiva downstairs. And the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha, Moshe Havraini, walked out of the yeshiva in his talus with his kittel, and he was going to his house, which was next to the yeshiva for 5 minutes. Outside, there was a car. There was a bacher who had learnt in the yeshiva. He had his call-out paper in his hand. He was standing next to his car with his keys in his hand. He was crying. And he had tears pouring down his face. And Ramesh Zichrono looked at him and said, "Get in the car and drive." And he said to him in Ivrit, "Rebbe, it's Yom Kippur." He said, "Yeah, but get in the car and drive, because this Yom Kippur, you are mechuyav to drive. They just called you up, go." And he said to him, "Rebbe, it's Yom Kippur." And he said, "Get in the car and drive. Because if you have been educated, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. Very difficult for a person to switch and suddenly understand that Yom Kippur, sometimes it's a mitzvah to drive." And I remember walking up from the yeshiva. I didn't want to get stuck in the yeshiva, so I wanted to go to my brother's house. I was walking up from Geula to up Malchai Yisrael. There were literally tens of cars flying by in Yom Kippur, and the sight of people driving cars, right, and they called up one of the first group that they called up, which is unfortunately is what they always do, was the Chevra Kadisha of the army. Who's the Chevra Kadisha of the army? It's all Hamishi and the like, Rishalmis. The scene of guys in Kittel, Talis, and Shtraimel driving a car on Yom Kippur is probably a memory that I'll never ever forget. Right? There were tens of cars flying by with people with kittles and this. But that switch, the Meraglim were the Manhigim of Klal Yisrael. The Meraglim were chosen as Manhigim. What is a Manhig? A Manhig is somebody who guides a group of people. The Meraglim, the toss of the Meraglim, or the difficulty that the Meraglim had, side of Baruch Sidis and side of Musik, Baruch Musik explain is, that they had been dealing with a Klal Yisrael that had locked itself into a lifestyle which was a lifestyle of not having to worry about anything, not having to be challenged by anything, not having any nisyonos, getting everything from heaven, and all you have to do is Avodas Hashem. And they said to each other, "We know how to guide Klal Yisrael in such a environment. We don't know how to guide Klal Yisrael in an environment where things are going to be different, where they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael." And in the parasha of Orlah, it says in the pasuk that you will, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you will plant trees. 3 years, do not touch the produce of the products of these trees. Along come Chazal, and Chazal say this isn't a fact. The Torah isn't telling us a metzius. You will plant trees in 3 years, don't touch the fruits. Untatem, you will plant, you are mechuyev to plant. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, it's over. The midbar's finished, you want to eat, you're going to have to plant. That's going to be your obligation, said the Meraglim. We don't know how to guide a Klal Yisrael whose Avodas Hashem is now going to be with Nisyonos. And it means that Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to have to bring other people to do that. But Klal Yisrael won't be able to handle it. Go to the people who've been living 40 years and have been educated in a certain style of living, go tell them overnight, do something else. The exact opposite of what you're used to. There's no way in which they're going to be able to handle this. Klal Yisrael won't survive in and out of Israel. They weren't worried about losing their jobs. They were saying that the Metzias we will lose our jobs because it needs a different type of anhoga in a different type of situation. But that anhoga is not going to help because Klal Yisrael won't be able to handle it. Klal Yisrael are not going to be able to handle Aveda Ruchnis, where they also have to worry about Nisyonos. And along back come the Meraglim and say to Klal Yisrael, you should know something. We're going into a new era now. And the era is, there's not going to be any man. And there's not going to be a Ben Miriam. And there's not going to be an Ananiah covered. There's not going to be anything which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave from heaven. And you're going to have to carry on doing exactly the same Aveda Ruchnis that you did in the Midbar. What was the reaction of Klal Yisrael? Batisa kol ha'edu ha'itnes konem ba'yifko on ba'layla ho. They all started crying. Like the guy who has to go into his car in Yom Kippur. Huh? You can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, if I tell you that this is what you should do, then you can do it. Because Ribbono Shel Olam never imposes upon a person something which it is not possible for the person to do. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give us impossible tasks, because that would be the ultimate in unfairness. There's no such thing as Amunos Shetal El Rakia. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't say you go up to Mars and there shake a lulav, because you can't go up to Mars. So what's the point in telling you to go to Mars and shake a lulav there? If the Ribbono Shel Olam says, go into Eretz Yisrael and carry on doing what you're doing in the Midbar without the support from heaven, it's possible to do it. And you have to believe that it can be done. You don't believe it can be done? You're crying for nothing, because I'm telling you it can be done. So you know what, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I'm going to make it even more difficult for you. I'm going to put you into a much more difficult situation. Not only will you have to tiger for your own parnosa, not only you won't have an aniyah covered, and you won't have man, and you won't have Ben Miriam, you're going to have another factor, golos, anti-Semitism, goyim, who are going to put every single obstacle in your way that you shouldn't be successful, both on a gashmistic level and on a ruchnistic level. And im kol zeh, you'll have to spiritually survive that. And if you will spiritually survive that, then that will be the tikkun for what you messed up when you got the first opportunity, which would have been a lesser problem, Eretz Yisrael. The Meshech Chochmah says the following, the Or Samech, in his Pirush on Chumash says the following. He says that Chazal tell us, "Vayisyatzvu betachtis ahor," that when Klal Yisrael mekabel Torah, that they stood betachtis ahor. So, what does Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Shabbos? The famous Gemara, Malamed this teaches, "Shekofa Kodesh Boch Aleim Har Kegigis," that the Ribbono Shel Olam held the mountain over them like a gigis, like a pot. The Amalem and said to them, "Im atem mekabelim aleichem es haTorah mutav," if you'll be mekabel the Torah, fine. Vimlav, and if not, Shom Taikfur Askam, you will die there. And this enabled Klal Yisrael to have an excuse and to say that you can't punish us for the fact that we're not keeping Torah because we didn't really want to accept Torah, you forced us to accept the Torah. And then came the Rav and says, Afal ki kein hoda kiblu abimea hashverish, the Siv kimu the kibla yudim kimu masha kiblu kfar. Says the Or Samech, what are Chazal saying here? The Rav stood there with the mountain over them and said, okay, guys, accept Torah. If you don't accept Torah, I'm going to drop the mountain on you. He says, it doesn't mean that. He says it means something else. He says that there's sometimes a situation where a person sees something so clearly that he has no choice in the matter anymore. A person only has a choice when he's not sure, then he has to choose between one option and the other option. But if there's total clarity, it's not a choice. if I don't know whether I've got $100,000 or not, so there's a tzad to say, should I buy a Ferrari or shouldn't I buy a Ferrari? Because there is a tzad to say that I've got $100,000, right? But if I see my bank statement and it says minus $100,000, and I'm not from Bank Park, there's no way in which I can consider buying a Ferrari, right? It's clear in front of me that I haven't got the money. You can get a situation where things are so clear to you that it's absolutely, totally impossible to think other than in a certain direction. The spiritual revelation of Maimed Har Sinai was such that everything was so clear, and the Gadlus HaBeira was so clear, and the Chochmas HaTorah was so clear, and the Ribbono Shel Olam was so tangible that there was no such thing as being able to say, I won't be Mekabel Torah. Everything was so obvious that whenever they were told, they said, yeah, we can do it, yeah, we can do it, yeah, we can do it. They were drunk with spirituality. That was their taina. The very one forced us into it. Not he forced us physically into it. He forced us by revealing such a clarity to us that what do you want from us? Say Chazal, Hodaki Blu Abimea Hashverish. If there was a period in Jewish history which symbolizes and signifies the lack of spiritual clarity, is the story of Megillas Esther. The major theme of the whole of the Megillah of Esther is V'anochi Hasta Aster. Everything's hidden. Even the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't appear in it. Everything is unknown. And on the contrary, if you look at the story of the Megillah and you look at the life of the Jews at that time after the Gezeirah of Haman, it was the pits. It was the worst possible. And if Klal Yisrael, in a situation like that, were able to say, again, Na'aseh v'nishma, again, Kimu v'kiblu, then that meant that they'd reached a darga whereby they understood that even in a situation when things aren't clear, this is the only choice. That's the pshat in the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara says in Tainis, Kishayim shenichnes av, mamatim b'simcha. In the same way as av is a chedesh of golus, as a tikkun for the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael and lead a life of nisyonos, and lead a life of spirituality with nisyonos. Kach Marvim Simcha Adar. Adar is the exact opposite. Adar is when Klal Yisrael historically, in the deepest golus, in the worst situations of anti-Semitism, in the worst situation of difficulty in Kiyum HaTorah and Limud HaTorah, basically said, we can do it. And that's the common theme that exists between Av and Adar. There are very, 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 very few people in our circle. Right? We're not talking about the Rabbi Chaim Kanievskis of the world. Right? Because they don't mix with Leivaria guys. They don't even mix with Leivaria faculty. We're not talking about people like us. There are very, very, very few people who can say that it's easy to be Avdei Hashem, it's easy to be Lamedei Torah, it's easy to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, it's easy to do the right thing. Very, very few. We're all of us battling. Some for better, some for worse. But we're all of us are in Nisyonos. And we believe Be'emunah Shleimah. And that's basic emunah that every Jew has to have. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't impose upon us obligations which are impossible to fulfill. We believe also the Ribbono Shel'Olam's demands on the individual vary in terms of who, what, when, where is that, obviously. But we're not talking now about, we're talking about the minimums. There's no question that if the Ribbono Shel'Olam imposes it upon us, then we're able to handle it. And that's what Adar represents. That's what Chodesh Adar represents. Chodesh Adar, in Hashkafas Yadas, is not balloons, crazy costumes, and the Jewish equivalent of an Irish wake. That's not what Chodesh Adar is all about. The concept of Chodesh Adar in Hashkafas Yadas is the reoccurring period of time every year where the Jew makes a statement basically to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. And that's the pshat. That's what it means. Because the Jew makes a statement. Because Ezu Hu Osher, who's considered to be a wealthy person, has Hasomeach, somebody who's happy. How does he become happy? Bechel Koi. And we said this many times. When a person gets a gift of $1,000, of course he's happy. He got a gift of $1,000. But it's not a complete simcha. Why? Because at the end of the day, whoever gave him $1,000, he owes him. And for the rest of his life, I love him. And he'll always walk around with this feeling, yeah, he gave me $1,000. So, I got to tell you, I owe him. When a guy earns $1,000, his simcha is b'shleimus. I don't owe anything to anybody. I earned this $1,000. Say chazal, eizu oshia. Who's a real wealthy person? Asomeach, somebody who can reach the darga of simcha. How can a person reach the darga of simcha b'cholkoi? When he knows that he did it. That he did it. That's what Chodesh Adar is. Chodesh Adar is the opportunity once a year that Ribbono Shel'Olam gives every Jew. Here, you've got a month. Historically, it's a month when Klal Yisrael showed the Ribbono Shel'Olam that in the biggest nisyonos, in the most difficult times, they were able to do what he wanted them to do. And that's what we're expected to do every year by Chodesh Adar. To do what the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants us to do for a month. And then, Mishnech Matadah, if that's the case, then Mishnech Matadah, when Adar comes in, Ma'abim Mishimcha, it becomes a Chodesh Simcha. Why? Because we're Sameach Bechol Koi. Because we did it. Adar, historically, was a Chodesh of Chizik. Adar, historically, was a Chodesh where Jews learned more, Jews were more Makter and Kiyam HaMitzvahs. I saw an Chassidus Sefer this week. From one of the Gedolei Chassidus, he writes that Adar, in terms of its impact on a person's Yiddishkeit, is more powerful than El. It's more powerful than Chodesh El, which is the Chodesh prior to Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Adar is the opportunity of a person. He gets the special Siyata Shemaya, that is the Siyata Shemaya that the Ribbono Shel'Olam gives. Everybody said, we got a week left, basically, with all for him. We can waste the week, or we can be mechazik ourselves for this week. The Chodesh Poch has tried to the best of our ability to mechazik ourselves in Yoni Aruchnias, and then the Ribbono Shel'Olam will give us a bracha that it will really be a Purim Sameach. If somebody comes with a house, we can pick up.